Hello, and welcome to Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
Happy belated birthday.
Hey, thanks.
Riley Smurl.
Last time we did this podcast, I was 18. Now I'm 19. It's my last year being a teenager.
Uh-oh. Well, so then we all gotta find new jobs.
I don't know what happens to my job once I turn 20.
We kick you off.
It's gone.
Why do you think Sydney had two kids? We gotta get the next generation out here.
Charlie will be 6. Is that old enough for her to start her career?
I mean, you know, you gotta do something.
Sydney, I think that kicks you out, though. I think it just bumps everyone up one. I think Taylor and I become the older generation, and Charlie becomes the new one. And
oh, man.
Is that how it works?
All yeah. Right. Three spots.
I don't have any other marketable skills.
Or any other podcasts.
This is true.
I was joking. I have a medical degree.
I know. You are a doctor.
Oh, Sid, I don't think anyone knew that. Thanks for mentioning that. It's just once every podcast. By the way, I have a medical degree.
Well, if anybody also listens to Sawbones and then they heard me say that on this podcast, they might think it was all an elaborate hoax.
That is. It's quite.
She never was a doctor. A doctor of jokes.
So, Riley, how was your birthday celebration?
It was great. I a few days after my birthday, I fulfilled a long standing childhood dream of seeing the Jonas Brothers in concert because you got me tickets and it was the best night of my life.
Well, good.
It was amazing. The Jonas Brothers grew up. They are all Jonas men now. No longer boys.
They're still brothers. It doesn't stop.
They're still brothers, but they are men. they did shots on stage because they're grown-ups now.
What?
And I thought it was funny that when I was listening to the Jonas Brothers growing up, I was like, you know, like 8 or 9 when they were super popular the first time. It was a whole 10 years ago. And everyone I knew that liked them was also 8 or 9 years old. And now at this concert, I did not see one child. Everyone I saw was at least probably 18 or 19 years old. And most of them were drinking, so most of them were older.
I assume that the current U.S. shortage of White Claws
was because of the Jonas Brothers World Tour.
Is entirely because of the Jonas Brothers Tour, right?
Yes.
Is that...
They were selling so many White Claws at this concert, and everyone around me was drinking one.
I think that's how you summoned a reunion tour. I think that's what happened.
White Claws. Like,
the consumption of a million White Claws brings forth the Jonas Brothers as men.
I mean, it was just a stadium full of high school and college age young women singing along to Jonas Brothers songs that came out in the year 2008 with fully grown Jonas Brothers.
This is a little weird for me because I've gone to a lot of like reunion tours for bands that like I was like way too young, like I would have missed, like bands that were around like the late 80s. The idea that like when the Jonas Brothers came out, I was like, oh, I'm too old for that. And now they're having a reunion and I'm like, well, I'm too old for that.
Like, I'm so old that like my only reference point for them really, I mean, I was aware of them. Yeah. I've never listened to their music.
It's disgraceful.
Outside of like if it was playing somewhere and I didn't know that was who it was, perhaps this has happened. I'm not going to say that
probably happened.
But I watched them on that new TV show where they pick somebody to make a song.
Oh yeah.
They have a bunch of songwriters come on and like perform songs that they've written, and then like they always have a musical artist there who gets to choose one of them that they're going to record.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Like they go through the process of how they rework songs, which is cool, and also a little bit like, but I like the way they did it the first time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the Jonas Brothers were on there and they reworked a song, and so that's it. They're very musically talented.
They are.
I was very impressed with their musicality on this program.
They are. Perhaps my favorite part about the Jonas Brothers is how
just say they are. They were very good, like with their instruments and their
I love
vocalization.
How self-aware Kevin Jonas is. Because when the Jonas Brothers first came out, everyone's favorite was either Joe or Nick. They were the two younger ones. They were the two that sang. And then, like, as they were, like, getting older, Kevin was the one that got married, started having kids. He never sang. All he did was play guitar. And at this concert, he did. That is what he did. He stood there while his brothers sang and just played guitar for them and then smiled at everyone, like, I'm doing good. I'm playing guitar for my brothers, my younger brothers. I love them both very much.
There's nothing wrong with being the cool, quiet guitar player.
Is that what you would be?
No.
Because he's the oldest.
I've never been cool in my life.
which Jonas brother would we all be?
Oh, that's right. There are three of them.
There are three of them. Would that make you Kevin?
You're going to have, I guess.
Taylor's like a
which
Joe.
Which one's punk?
Joe's the middle one. Joe is the one that wanted to, you said, you were reading that list about the Jonas Brothers. Okay. He wanted to be punk. He was the one that in 2008, 2009 had the really, really like long shaggy hair that like covered half of his face. And in all their music videos, he'd either spike it up or wear it down and always wore like blazers with ripped jeans and stuff in his music videos, and always did
blazers and ripped jeans.
Always did the screaming in all the songs, like whenever they'd have like a guitar riff and a little like yell. He did the screams. Nick was the baby who always did like the soft like sweet guitar songs.
Okay, so you want to be the baby.
He was the baby. I love okay. Nick. All right, Joe is always my favorite, though. I was always in love with Joe.
I guess I'm Kevin.
Well, Kevin's the one who got married and had two kids, while the other ones were still, like, you know,
young and
teens
cool.
and stuff. So, yeah, I think that's fitting.
All right.
Hey, cool. Listen, I feel like Kevin is probably thinking the same thing I would be thinking, which is, I'm just happy I didn't get left out like Bonus Jonas.
Oh no! Is one of us Bonus Jonas?
Wait, you said there were three. What's a?
Well, they have a fourth younger brother who's much younger than them.
And
his
they
name
named
is Frankie.
Him Bonus. Oh, okay. Oh, that's not
his name is Frankie. And what I remember about Frankie is when the Jonas Brothers had a very short-lived television series on the Disney Channel called Jonas,
uh-huh.
He was in their TV series, mm-hmm. and they always joked about him being the forgotten fourth Jonas Brother.
Oh, no.
He's like, I think he's like my age. I think he, you know, was like a kid when they were teens and making music and stuff.
I knew that they must have gotten up in that Disney Channel action at some point.
Oh, yeah, they were in Camp Rock.
That is a Disney Channel thing.
Camp Rock was like the sure. next big High School Musical after High School Musical.
Ah.
It was a Disney Channel original movie with Demi Lovato and the Jonas Brothers.
I am deep into Descendants right now.
Oh my gosh.
That's really where I am. The Descendants movies, I've seen all three. And then while we were at Disney World, they had a Descendants pajama party sing-along.
Were you all about that?
We went and attended it, and watching preteen girls... Because that's what it was. It was a row of, and my daughter, who I guess is preteen.
I guess all kids before they're 13 are preteen.
Watching them sit on pillows and eat popcorn and sing at the top of their lungs along with the Descendants it was so joyful. It was amazing. I love that.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I didn't. I didn't know there was a. I thought the Descendants was a punk band. I mean, it is. That's my only touch point, and I was very confused as to why.
Tay, I feel like you'd be very into the Descendants. Like
little girls today were really into some late 80s punk, early 90s.
Well, the Descendants is a movie about all the Disney characters' kids, like all the villains' kids and all the good guys' kids.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, that sounds like something I'd enjoy.
Like Maleficent's daughter and Cruella de Vil's son.
It's interesting, because the villains' kids, or VKs, as they're called, the VKs, they're a little more nuanced. Like, they've grown up in this world of evil, and now they don't really feel that. And so they're trying to, like, reach beyond this, like, evilness they've been taught to, like, be something more, to, like, self-actualize and be a whole person with both good and bad. Yeah. And a lot of the hero kids, like the good people kids, are like, a little kind of spoiled and take it for granted. Because they've kind of lived these lives of privilege. It's a very interesting, anyway, I just think it's...
I agreed to starting this podcast off as me talking about the Jonas Brothers and how much I love them. I didn't realize it was going to turn into Sydney's Descendants fan cast.
Well, I'm sorry, I love the Descendants.
That sounds pretty good, though. I like the Runaways, and that's... Or not, yeah, Runaways, it's kind of the same thing. It's a bunch of kids that are the kids of supervillains, and then they become a fighting team. So, yeah, cool.
It's nuanced.
But it's been 10 minutes of this podcast, and all we've done is talk about the Jonas Brothers and the Descendants, which I guess are both teen things, but not what we were talking about today.
Well, let's talk about another teen thing. It's fine.
Go ahead, Riley. You're in charge of this transition now.
No, you always do.
Wait, you just...
You always do it.
You made a demand for the topic change.
You know what the Jonas Brothers probably... Actually, I don't know. That's assuming a lot. You know, they probably didn't do is go to regular school. They probably went to boy band school. And you know what they have at regular school that the Jonas Brothers probably didn't have are teachers.
Band school doesn't have teachers?
No, they just have guitars.
Somebody's got to... Hold on.
They taught themselves. Kevin said, "Here, brothers, let me show you." And Kevin started playing guitar, and they followed. So, see, really, Kevin is the secret hero of the Jonas Brothers.
I don't think that this is a good proper
representation. Unsung savior.
I think they probably had teachers.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Sid there and also just assume that they had teachers.
I don't do the transitions, okay? Do it better.
Okay, well, we're already here. We're here now talking about teachers. It's
we drove up on the curb and ran over the mailbox, but we've arrived.
We are present. Here on the subject matter. The interesting thing, especially for you currently, Riley, is I think you have seen now after a year of college that like your relationship with teachers really changes.
Yes.
From everything before to once teachers start to become professors.
Yes.
Or profs. Do you call them profs?
No. I've never done that.
Really?
Yeah.
Not once?
No.
Sid, did you? No.
Like to their face?
No, but like I would ask, like I would use that term. What profs?
Use it in a sentence. Will you please? Hey, please use it in a sentence. That you would have used.
Where we have a meeting with the profs. I don't know.
That is not a sentence. You've never used that word.
Not a word.
I will be attending a descendant sing along with the fellow profs.
The ruling is not a word.
No.
I am merely an assistant prof.
That is a word that like a guy with two popped collars and a puka shell necklace in like a bad college movie has said.
Hey, right. What's up, prof?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, prof. Okay, fair. Anyway, everything changes because I feel like when you're a teenager, your teachers are still, although I don't know, I'm going to say this, but this was not entirely my experience. Your teachers are this entity that only exists when you're at school.
Yeah.
And like you go into the room where the teacher lives.
Yeah, that's where they live. That's where they were born and where they live always.
That is the room where the teacher lives. And then the teacher interacts with you and then you leave the room and you, I don't know if the teacher enters stasis or.
Just kind of disintegrates and then reforms at the start of the next school day.
I don't know if they power down.
Just
at some point they grade your papers and put stickers on them.
I do not mean offense to any teachers. I love teachers. Teachers are great. And this is why I say this was not really my experience because, like, I did chat with my teachers in between classes.
Nerd.
I did join, like, clubs and groups specifically so that I could get more FaceTime with some of the teachers that I thought were particularly inspiring or cool. So this is not me. But I feel like your impression of teachers is that outside of school, you don't know what they do.
Yes.
Or where they are.
I remember very clearly the first time, I think I was in middle school, and one of my teachers in middle school started doing theater, like, the same place I was doing theater, so we were at rehearsals together, and I remember just being like, what? You're not, this is, what are you doing?
The exact first place my brain went when you said that is, I know where I would think, and that's, oh no, this means that if we're in the show, we're going to be in the dressing room together, and then I might see my teacher's panties. That is definitely where everyone else's brain went first.
How do you come back from that?
That's not where I went.
Oh, that would be trauma. I mean, you think you're not supposed to see. No one's supposed to see teacher panties.
Well, either way, I think whether we're talking about actual underwear or emotional nudity.
It's a metaphor.
Yes. There is a vulnerability associated with theater that perhaps you are not ready to experience with, you know, your social studies teacher.
Right.
Or maybe you are. No judgment. But I think that it is true that generally speaking, like in high school, there are the teachers and there are the students and never the twain shall.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that line from Mean Girls, right? Where they're at the mall and they see their teacher and they say seeing a teacher outside of school is like a dog walking on its hind legs. Like, it's just natural.
Well, and
but it happens.
They have a lot more, I mean, I don't want to say they have more power over you in high school, but it's a very distinct kind of, like, I mean, you could, you know, like, it's a bit more of a, the relationship is super different. Like, it's more of a parental figure, you know. They can, you can get in trouble with your teacher. That doesn't really happen in college. You can't get in trouble. They can't send you to detention in college.
I'm not going to send you to the principal's office. Like,
that's very true. When you did see a teacher outside of school, no matter what level we're talking about, did you, like, the first thing I would always think is, I wonder if since we're outside of school, I can casually ask them how I did on that last paper or test or whatever.
Nope.
Never what I thought about.
No, I would just like if you're at the mall and you see a teacher, that's just a store you don't go in. I don't know.
Well, it depends on which teacher it is. Some of the teachers were like, you know, the cool teach.
Uh-huh.
You
know? Cool prof. Cool teach.
I don't know. I guess the other big difference is, like, in high school, I would say that the majority of classes I was in were small enough that if I saw my teacher outside of school, they would recognize that I was one of their students.
For sure.
Whereas in college, that's a lot.
Yeah,
that changes a lot too. I mean, yes, I was in small classes where my teachers would recognize me, but I was also in big giant lectures, especially for my early sciences. That I guarantee if I walked up to the professor and started talking, they would probably pick up on context clues.
Yeah,
they're pretty smart. But
or like if you're me and you're in a class for a whole semester with only 7 other people in it, and then you see the teacher 2 months later after the class ends, and they don't remember who you are.
Well,
oops.
Well, context.
Did it make a good enough impression?
Ah, context. That's part of it. I mean, when you see your teacher outside of school sometimes, it's like, it can be a little jarring.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
I remember my senior year English teacher, after I graduated and was about to start college, she was like, I loved her and loved her class and everything. She was like, hey, let's go get coffee and catch up, you know, before you start college. And I remember the first time I sat down with this teacher outside of class talking to her, and we were just having like casual conversation, and I went to go call her by her like teacher name. She was like, no, call me, you know, first name. I was like, whoa, what? First name?
Wow, I don't think I could do that.
I didn't. I was like, no, I'm going to stick with teacher name because that feels too unnatural.
I don't know that I have any of my like high school teachers or anybody that I ever called by their first name. Like ever
I can't.
Got to a point where I could have been on a first name basis with them.
Even teachers I had back in like middle school that now I only know as like a, I want to say friend because like still a teacher, but like on an acquaintance level outside of school, mm-hmm. like I haven't interacted with them in a school setting in many, many years, still call them teacher name.
Has social media changed this at all? Like, do you interact with any of your teachers on social media?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I have teachers.
See, this blows my mind. Taylor, the equivalent, because I was thinking like, well, when I was in high school, we weren't on Twitter.
Right.
But like, imagine like you're I don't know, your teacher on your MySpace.
Well, I mean,
or like your teacher reading your live journal. I can't come up with like some.
Or the thing is, like, I mean, I couldn't interact with them when I was still in high school. Like, right. There's these weird, yeah, like, I don't know if they're real. Yeah, I don't know if they're real rules or if they're just, like, these unspoken rules of the social media age that you can't, like, friend your teacher on Facebook until after you graduated. But
I guess.
I know that was always something someone said. Like, no, you can't, like, follow them on Twitter or, like, friend them on Facebook or Instagram or whatever until, like, you're not their student anymore.
I love the idea that there are some students who are going like, man, when can I start friending my teachers on Facebook? And you know there are going to be other students who are looking at you going, what?
Yeah, that
I'm
was
sorry.
That was me. Except I wanted to friend my teachers on Facebook. I know, everyone else was like, what are you, what?
You're asking, when can I?
Yeah. Well, I was one of those kids in high school that my only close teachers were all of my English teachers, and all 4 years I became very close to all of my English teachers and wanted very much to hang out in their classroom extra and talk to them after class. I saw a tweet once that said you could tell how sad someone is in high school by how close they were to their English teachers. I feel very attacked.
I would say that was generally true about English teachers, maybe more so than other teachers. I don't know. Yeah. Tay, do you think that was, although you would probably say the same about your art
teacher.
Well,
that's, yeah, I mean, because yeah. I didn't have a lot of actual, well, that's not, I don't want to say actual friends in high school. My art teachers were my friends in high school. I didn't have any, like, my age friends, really, to speak of. Mm-hmm.
Kid friends.
I didn't have kid friends. I had adult friends, and they were the nice old ladies that ran the art department, and they let me eat lunch in their room, so I didn't have to eat alone. They were my friends. I stayed in contact with one of my art teachers, I mean, pretty consistently on social media. Like, every now and then, like, through college, she'd like one of my kind of, like, depressing, like, Facebook posts. And I'd be like, oh, no, she's watching. I gotta try harder. I don't want her to think she's I'm a watching. Failure. Yeah, like, you know, I went to art school. I'm supposed to make it. She's counting on me. I gotta do better. We're still friends on social media. I still call her by your teacher name. Like, I saw her at the Sawbones book signing when I was in town, and I absolutely mm-hmm. can never call her anything but by teacher name. But
teacher name,
yeah,
for sure.
But regardless, she was still one of my best friends in high school.
Yeah, I get that.
I think there are certain, though. I mean, like, I definitely, of all of the different, I had a couple science teachers that I formed a pretty strong bond with.
Yeah,
but
you
I would
were a
say,
science girl.
Yeah, well, maybe so. Maybe it's not always. It's just that you English people then go write about it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Well, it's.
And now I write full time in college. Just learn about writing.
Yeah. It's funny because I'm thinking, like, in the restaurant world, like, I have, like, 18-year-old, like, bussers and runners that I consider, like, oh, yeah, that's my friend. But in the, like, that's, the age gap there is similar. Like, you know, an 18-year-old.
Do they call you Miss Taylor?
No, I mean, we're, you know. We're, like, I think, like, oh, it's, like, that's weird to be friends with a teacher, right? I'm like, well, heck, I'm, like, so much older than these people that I consider, like, you know, like, we go out to dinner together. Like, oh, I guess it's not that weird. It's just the context.
Yeah.
Maybe you could get them to call you Prof.
No, I would not ever want them to call me that. We're
Professor Cocktails.
That doesn't even sound like a cool word, like Prof. Oof.
How about you could be Dr. Cocktail?
No, well, so they just shorten it to. Never mind. I don't think I could say that on this podcast.
Yeah, let's. We'll let you.
Hey, you know what we should do before we keep talking about
like Doc teachers? Ock from Spider-Man, but using the words you said.
We'll let you suss that out at home, but in the meantime,
let's check the group message. Please
nobody quickly. Call me that.
I have a sponsor I want to tell you about, sisters.
Oh, we'll go for it.
I'm going to, because this week Still Buffering is sponsoring a part by HelloFresh. We've told you about HelloFresh before, but we're going to do it again because we like HelloFresh so much. Because they make dinner easy, and they make cooking delicious meals at home a reality, regardless of your comfort in the kitchen. They give you step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients, and there's something for everyone. They have family recipes, to calorie smart and a vegetarian, and fun menu series like Hall of Fame and Kraft Burgers. And you can add extra meals to your weekly order, as well as yummy add-ons like garlic bread and cookie dough. How delicious. You have a little pre-dinner snack, a little post-dinner snack.
That's dessert.
Okay, what if I want to call it my post-dinner snack? What if I wanted the cookie dough before and I wanted the garlic bread after?
I think that you could use appetizer as well, but whatever. Everything's a snack if you want it to be.
Everything's a snack. You know what dinner is? Just big snack.
Big ol' snack.
Listen, HelloFresh is not going to tell you which you have to eat in what order.
No.
They're just going to send you the delicious food.
And you make that decision for yourself. So Taylor, if our listeners were to check out HelloFresh, what should they do?
Well, you can get a total of $80 off in your first month. So that's $20 off each of your first four boxes. You just need to go to HelloFresh.com/StillBuffering80 and enter promo code StillBuffering80. That's HelloFresh.com/StillBuffering80, promo code StillBuffering80. Get that $80 off your first month and have all the snacks you want. Big snacks, little snacks, dessert snacks. Early snacks, late snacks.
Midday snacks, that's lunch. Morning snack, that's breakfast.
Oh, just snacks. Snacks all day.
Sisters, Still Buffering is also supported this week by Dashlane. Now, I am someone who's bad at password, Dean.
Me too.
Yeah.
The internet, anytime I create a password, whatever device I'm using is always trying to suggest to me like better passwords, and I never use them because I'll forget them. And so Dashlane is a solution that would work for me and you and
everyone
who is in this exact same situation, because it's a password management app that will solve all your how to password problems by keeping all your online information safe, secure, encrypted, and easy to access. Dashlane will do that by remembering all those passwords so you don't have to. So you also don't end up using the same password every time, which is a bad idea.
Definitely do that.
Yes, or using a really easy to crack password, which is also a bad idea that we're all guilty of. Dashlane seamlessly autofills all your login information, syncing automatically across all of your devices. It even stores payment details. Dashlane can even generate all those super strong passwords for every account. So those passwords that I say I'll never remember, well, Dashlane's going to generate them for you and then store them in an ultra secure password vault that only you can unlock. So then you can use all those complicated passwords that we really all should be using for all of our secrets, our internet secrets.
Right.
If our listeners want to check out Dashlane, which I would highly advise you to do, Taylor, where should they go?
Well, you should go to dashlane.com/stillbuffering. You can get Dashlane free on your first device. As a special offer for Still Buffering fans, they're even offering a 30-day free trial of Dashlane Premium, including VPN, dark web monitoring, and more. And if you like it, use code STILLBUFFERING at checkout to save 10% on your premium subscription.
Dark web monitoring. So go do that and stop using bad passwords.
Yeah.
I should do that.
Probably.
Yes. So as we were mentioning, things kind of change. I with your teachers as you get to college, I was somebody who like I said, I kind of already looked for these opportunities when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, I would say I was closest with one of my English teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have like outside of school gatherings for our creative writing class,
mm-hmm.
which was very like, oh my gosh. We're going to see a teacher in her native habitat outside of school.
Wait, you mean she doesn't live in her classroom?
We're going to go somewhere, meet with a teacher, see what like her living room looks like.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Can you believe it?
Yeah. I remember I went to a comedy show at a local like restaurant/bar type place, mm-hmm. recently. And I went in and I saw like two of my professors, like someone who's very important and like a dean of one of the colleges, and all just like dressed very casually, like at the bar or, you know, having dinner. And they were all like, hey, what's up? Like you coming here to see comedy, like talking to me just like about casual stuff. And I was just like, this is you're wearing jeans and you're at a bar. I know you're an adult, but you're at a bar. It's just very weird. Like, what?
You always wonder, like, am I going to get in trouble for being
here? Yeah. Are you mad at me for being here? Like, it's a restaurant, but like, are you going to, is this cool? Are we equal?
I think this says something about probably my wardrobe choices, but I remember when I graduated from medical school, I wore a dress because it was graduation and I thought I should dress up. So I wore a dress. And at the end of the ceremony, two of my professors came over to ask me if I had a tattoo on my leg because it was the first time
they'd ever seen this
tattoo on my leg.
And then they took away your medical degree because they realized that you were a rough person.
Yep.
I had a moment where I was terrified. Like, they've seen my tattoo. Now they know. What are they? I mean, they liked it.
Right.
They also thought it was surprising that I had a tattoo. And I was like, haha.
Aha.
I have levels.
You did. Depth, layers. I had a similar experience when I was at like a kind of like a school event. And I was wearing a dress, but I was wearing a cardigan over it. And I kept the sleeves long intentionally so that all these, you know, important adults in my program wouldn't see my tattoo on my wrist. Not that I'm like embarrassed of it, but just because, like, I don't know, it was an important event. I figured, like, I don't know. No one else here has any tattoos. And I remember I reached up my hand to shake hands with someone and my sleeve came up. And one of the other students was like, oh, I love your tattoo. And I looked at her like, why'd you out me like that, dog? I was gonna cover it back up. Why'd you just say something? And instead of saying anything about it, the woman I was shaking hands with was like, oh, you know, I've always thought tattoos were just so beautiful and so intricate and so interesting. I really like that. And I told her what it was for. And I was like, you know what? That's what college is about.
Well, yeah, but see, the problem that can also happen in college, because your teachers can be cool, is that sometimes they're cooler than you.
Yes.
That's true. I read into that a lot in art school, specifically because it's art school in New York. Of course, the professors are all really cool. But, like, yeah. There's, like, the head of my department was, like, this tattooed dude who, like, just, like, he was all about being cool. And I remember in one of my assessment meetings, he recommended this one class for me. And it was, like, a computer graphics class. I'm like, that's not really what I do. He's like, right. But this professor that teaches is an incredibly cultured, incredibly cool guy. And you just need to, like, work on that. I'm like, I need to work on being cool.
Being cool.
You need to, like, have that exposure to, like, you know, scenes and, like, the world and, like, cool stuff. And I'm like, you're telling me to take a class that has no effect on my major, that has nothing to do with what I do artistically, because the professor will teach me how to be cool. And I did, because the cool dude told me to take the cool class. I got an A in the
Did you get cooler?
Well, I got an A in the cool class, but I don't think I got any cooler. I just did my assignments on time.
But you got an A.
But wait.
Good grades are cool.
I don't think getting an A in cool class is actually how you get cool.
The secret is you fail cool class. And
exactly.
He says, okay,
that
you're
was
in.
Your problem. Your
Welcome
problem
to the real class.
Is that you did too well in cool class, and that's not cool.
That's what I was supposed to, like, get frustrated and walk out, like, throw on my leather jacket and be like, F this class. I'll take that F. And they're like, and that's why you passed, cool kid. And I didn't do that. they were like,
you
similarly
were supposed to eat it, prof.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a one time that word is used. There was even like some of the cooler kids in my department would go out with like a couple of the professors and drink with them, but I was never invited, and it really bugged me that I wasn't cool enough to have a drink with the teacher.
we had one of those cool professors. I remember from college. I mean, I had lots of good professors. I had lots that I thought were very cool. But yeah. There was one that was, like, I think by universal standards would be accepted as particularly cool. He wore an Indiana Jones hat.
Whoa.
Wait, it wasn't Indiana Jones, was it? Because he was a professor.
I know, I know. And he wore an Indiana Jones hat, and he pulled it off.
Mm. Oh.
Which is a whole other thing.
That's a whole other
That's
thing.
Painfully true. When you see somebody in an Indiana Jones hat and they're not pulling it off.
Yes. they might be me.
I was going to say, wait, I had an Indiana Jones hat at some point.
As did I. But he pulled it off. He was an English professor. He had a wonderful voice. And so he would read things to the class, like poetry and stuff. And everybody was just like, that voice and that hat.
And the hat.
And he was proficient in like several different martial arts.
Yes.
He was so cool.
Yes.
Everybody thought he was just the coolest.
He was proficient in several different martial arts. Are you sure he wasn't? Was he an adventurer in the summertime?
I think he was an adventurer. I know that he did like West Virginia adventuring type stuff, like hiking, climbing, rafting, like those kinds of outdoor adventures. So perhaps he did
maybe
more intricate adventures, and I wasn't aware.
You had West Virginia Jones as your teacher.
Yeah.
He gave me a standing ovation once when I did an oral interpretive reading for the class, and it was one of the greatest days of my life. The birth of my children, it's above that, but only a
you
little
got
bit.
Charlie and Cooper tied for first and second, and then that's number three.
Wow, where's your like proposal or your wedding? Where does Justin fall on this?
I was gonna say, your wedding's like number four.
Oh, they're up there too. It's just, this was a really good moment for me.
Wow.
I'll tell you, you mentioned drinking with a professor, and I think that's where college, like, that was the thing that really... I didn't know what to think of that situation the first time when I remember we had some sort of outside of the classroom activity, and it was like a learning, but also there was drinking activity. And I remember being like, do I have that in front of you? Is this... okay, what is the...
Are we equal?
What are the rules? And, like, I don't know. Like, is that cool? Or...
Yeah.
I found that very hard for me to navigate at first.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed the like... I really enjoyed that because I figured out about halfway through high school, like, oh, man, these teachers, not just the stuff they're teaching me, but, like... a lot of them are really cool people who have a lot of cool stuff going on that I don't know anything about. And they're more cool adults in my life that I can learn things from and, like, you know, want to be like. And once I figured that out, I really wanted to be closer to a lot of my teachers. In college, I think that's a lot more accepted. Like, that's the norm.
Right.
Is that you're going to find professors that you... want to model yourself after.
Well, I mean, and then when you're in college, when you have those teachers or the professors that you really like, you can like go out of your way to make sure you take them multiple times.
Yeah.
Like, I know I had an English professor my first semester of college that I was just like, this is great. I've never had an English class like this before. This is amazing. Like, we watched movies. We didn't just read books. We listened to music and we talked about art and wrote about it and everything. And I went to go make my schedule for this semester and I saw she was teaching another class and I was like, well, wasn't even what I'm supposed to be taking, but I guess I just have to take it because she's teaching it, so that's my only option, and I took it and I love it. But you get that option when you're in college. You just keep taking classes from the same professor.
This is how I ended up taking a class about Fight Club.
I hadn't
had the professor before, but I had heard she was a really great professor and like you could learn so much and it was so cool to take her classes, and so I really wanted to take one of her classes, so I intentionally took this class that ended up being all about Fight Club. It was a great class. I don't know how applicable that information is
to your career,
to my day to day.
Right.
But it was a great class.
Now,
at least
here's a good generational.
It wasn't all pro, I should say. It wasn't all like pro, like
pro Fight Club.
Cool. It was like dissecting.
I was gonna say I think that is applicable to our world today. Like, it's kind of a testament to toxic masculinity, and I like that's a. I take that class.
We connected it to like the Manchurian Candidate. Like, there was a whole thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
was Rate My Professor a thing when you all were in college?
Had it? If it wasn't, it was close.
Because it was for me, definitely.
Because we never did it. Let me say this: I don't ever remember doing that with any of my.
Really, like using it to look at their ratings or even rating them yourself.
Mm-mm.
See, so, I always every time when I'm scheduling. I look at Rate My Professor, not that like, because a lot of times when you're just starting out, you don't really have a choice as to what classes you can take. You just kind of have to take the ones that fit. Like, you know what classes you're taking, but when it comes to different sections or different professors, you just kind of have to take the ones that fit the best.
Right.
But when you start having the options to take ones that you want or different times, I always use it to look at which professors have the highest ratings. And then when I finish classes, for teachers that I think were really either like super great or super not, I usually take the time to go make a rating for those professors. Just like, I feel like it's like a service to my fellow college students. Wow. Like, hey, a warning. Or hey, you should take this professor for sure.
You're yelping your professors.
Well, I feel like Rate My Professor is one of those things where it's like, you're just looking at someone's name. You've never had this professor before. You could take either class. So I know it's the same class, but teachers teach them differently. And if one teacher, you know, like grades super harshly or is super unclear about assignments or, you know, doesn't teach things you're interested in, and the other teacher is like super great and does interesting stuff.
That's really interesting to think about. Like, I knew the ahead of time, like I intentionally took classes from certain professors without knowing them.
Yeah.
Because I heard who was like, well, that's like this one's really fun. Yeah. This one will teach you a lot. This one's really good at this. This one's, I don't know. Like,
that's just an internet. Rate My Professor is just an internet version of that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like that, I feel like that information was transmitted pretty efficiently even before the internet, which is weird. I'm trying to think about like, how did that happen?
Well, I mean,
you know what I mean, Tay? I mean, like, do you feel like that osmosis happened even before?
I don't know. Because I remember using Rate My Professor to get a better feel for teachers, but I guess it's a bit more like that all kind of came to rise at the same time, though. I mean, you had reviews of restaurants, you had reviews of teachers, you had, like, it just kind of became like the underground sort of hit back of like, you know, that's fine, you grade us, but we're going to grade you. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I obviously don't trust it for everything. Like, there's a little part on Rate My Professor where you can put the grade you got in that class as well as like how you're rating the professor. So if I see a bunch of people that like did super poorly in the class and are like, man, this class was too much homework or like mandatory attendance is awful. It's like, well, that's not, you know, really a trustworthy review. But if it's someone who like did well in the class but is still like, hey, maybe not the best, you know, person to teach this or whatever, then that's something to think about.
Because I think I was introduced to it, actually, now that I think of it, it was by a professor who like I was friends with on Facebook, who would post some of his funnier reviews on Rate My Professor. Because like it was one of my favorite professors, but he'd get these reviews like too much reading, too much writing. It's like, what are you going to college for, buddy? Like, that's kind of college.
Things like that obviously don't deter me. Yeah, they don't deter me from a class, but it's only when, you know.
I always think you should have to. I mean, I can. It's hard because it's such a double-edged sword. As a physician, I can tell you that those ratings can be very hard. Like, patients can go online and rate their doctor.
Yeah.
And if, for instance, in an area like ours where a lot of conversations are about opioid pain medications, that can be a really tough thing to, like, I mean, I know that your ratings can go down if you don't give out enough of those.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I've also seen anti-vaxxers totally destroy doctors online. Like, just totally destroy their ratings.
I hope we're moving past an age when online reviews are considered. I don't know. I feel like in the restaurant industry we are, just because like I've seen Yelp weaponized even with personal vendettas. Like, there was a dude that I worked with whose ex decided to try to get him fired by getting like by posting bad Yelp reviews, pointing a finger at him. He was a server, and also getting their friends to do the same. And got this kid fired by posting several Yelp reviews that named him as a bad server. Aww. And like, kind of, like, he knew what was happening. He's like, no, it doesn't make sense. Like, we break up, and then suddenly all this happens. These are all made up things. But like, I just don't trust that. Like, that stuff is so easy to manipulate. And like, even in the Rate My Professors, like, I would look at them, but a lot of these professors that got the harsh reviews, it's like, I really like that class, but yeah, they made you work. Like, people don't review the classes very well, where you have to do work in them, and that's pretty crappy. Like,
Well, I don't think that's always the case, at least with what I've seen. Like, all the classes I've seen that are harder classes, there are a lot of reviews that's like, yeah, I had a lot of work in this class, a lot of papers to write, or a lot of books to read, or whatever, but the professor's super great at working with you or teaches you a lot outside of, you know, just the required material, or is super understanding if you're having issues or whatever, like willing to help you. Like, there aren't always people who are just like, yeah, it was too much work, so I hate it. Like, there are always those people. But I think it's pretty easy if you take the time to just read the actual reviews and not just like, oh, well, their overall rating is a 2 and half people wouldn't take them again, so I'm not going to take them. If you take time to actually read the reviews and see, like, well, how this person do in the class, you know, what are their descriptions they're using.
It probably was easier in some ways before the internet for this one, because, I mean, what I would do is the whoever was telling me yes or no on a professor, it was probably somebody I knew.
Right.
And so then I could filter their recommendation through my knowledge of them.
Of them. Right.
You know what I mean? And it's a one-on-one thing too. And you're a lot more likely to get, like, I think, the whole story that way, right, as opposed to what somebody is going to put on the internet.
Yeah.
It's still at the hands of the anonymity of the internet. Like, you can still kind of say whatever you want. And, like, I'm sure there are plenty of perfectly good, valid reviews. It's just from experience of being on the receiving end of that in a professional setting, it's like, it's just so easy for people that aren't qualified. I mean, what qualifies somebody as a critic? I don't know. But, like, to have unqualified voices that, if you get enough of them, suddenly you're bad at your job. I mean, like you said, like, if you don't deal out enough opioids, then you're bad at your job. No, I think you're probably good at your job.
The only
people might not be happy.
Yeah.
The only way I'd say that I feel like something like Rate My Professor is probably different is in the sense that it's not like a bunch of different people from different places there for different reasons, if that makes sense. Like, we're all students at the same college who are all either probably in the same major, trying to get the same degree. Like, to a certain extent, most of us are there to, like, get through it and help each other out, they're taking the time to write reviews on Rate My Professor. It's not the same as, like, you know, someone who visits a restaurant once, or, like, goes to a doctor and has doesn't get opioids. It's like, oh, this is awful. There are always those people who are like, oh, I got a bad grade on a test, so I'm going to give them a bad review. But
I don't know.
In my experience, the same people that, like, the same professors I hear from my friends who are like, no, don't take them, or yes, take them. Usually, if you look on the Rate My Professor, the same things are usually reflected.
Do they still have a little chili pepper to tell you if the professor is hot or not? Because that always really bummed me out.
They do not.
Okay, I thought that was real
The only
bad.
Things I remember on there are, like, general overall ranking, like 1 to 5, and then percent of people who reviewed them that would take them again, and then the reviews.
I don't think anyone should be weighing in on if they think their professor is hot or not. That's not a thing that anyone should have out there on the internet against their will.
Yeah.
No.
And let me just say,
physical
I don't
appearance
let
should have nothing to do with any
I
of
don't
it.
Let Rate My Professor decide the classes I take, but it just is, like, a helpful I don't know, like, if I'm between two classes and they're equal, but one has, like, a 1 and one has a 5, and the reviews are pretty consistent, or, you know, most of the time I even check it after I've already signed up for classes, just so I can know what kind of workload or what kind of professor the person is.
I never wanted to look myself up, because I am, as I said, I'm an assistant
Do you think
professor.
You're on there?
I'm not a full professor. I don't know. I don't know how often med students do that. Maybe they do.
But you're also a host of several popular podcasts. If you want reviews about you, just, like, they're all over the place.
Look on iTunes.
Well, I don't want to know, but it's different. It's a different arena. And I never wanted to know, because I really wanted to, like, I mean, I wanted my students to feel like they got a good experience, but I know there are so many different factors, and I know, like, grades are part of it, although I was never a very harsh grader.
You're not on Rate My Professor.
Good.
I don't know if you like that.
I would rather
not
be
not on there.
I was never
well,
harsh about that
before,
stuff anyway. I was
now.
I was always pretty easygoing. We get reviews internally,
right?
And
right.
The reviews I got internally were almost uniformly.
And good. That happens still. So, like, we have to fill out the little end of the semester surveys about what we thought about our teachers, but we don't see those. Like, that's not why they distributed.
Yeah, we get anonymous reviews internally, just from, like, here are what all the students rated you, and here are some comments they made, and that kind of thing. And so, generally speaking, but it's tough to be on the other side of it, because you're trying so hard to, like, teach, but also be kind of cool and, like, easygoing, so that the learner feels comfortable with you, but not be too easygoing, because then you're not being rigorous and actually they're not gaining knowledge right. from you. And man, it's a tough road to walk. And I the hardest was actually one of those outside of class situations where I was out with one of my colleagues who was also an assistant professor at the med school. And we were out at a restaurant where there was also alcohol and we were having dinner and talking, and two shots arrived at our table. And the waiter said, these are from that table over there. And we looked over and there's a table of our students. And it was such a, like, we just sat there totally frozen, having no idea what to do, because first of all, it's med school. So everyone was an adult.
Right.
Everyone was of legal age to be drinking and purchasing alcohol and all that sort of thing. But what do you do when you're the teacher and your student has sent you a shot? We sat, I mean, literally like 20 minutes looking at each other like,
what do we do?
Can we do them? Is that bad? Like,
is it worse if you don't do them?
Have we taken, like, is this a, I don't think they were bribing us, but like, does it
does now it you have to give us way? A's?
And these were like, especially in med school, a lot of times you're not going to have a student over and over again. So these were past students. We weren't going to have them again.
Yeah.
We weren't going to teach them again. But still, I don't know. Like, I remember the two of us sitting there, like, agonizing over these little shot glasses. Like, what do we do? I don't know.
I got to ask, what was the shot?
Tequila.
Was it good tequila?
No, I think it was just well.
See that? You're going to send your professor a shot of well tequila? Did they not like you?
Maybe not.
Well, they're med students.
Oh, that's true. They're poor. That's what it meant. They're deep in debt. They're in med school. That's understandable. I feel like that would be my concern. If you're going to send your professor a shot, it's got to be a good one.
I think it was their way of saying, hey, you two are, we like you two. You're acknowledging cool. you. You know, I mean, like, they were all, and they came over and talked to us afterwards, like, and, you know, just chatted for a minute about how was their year going.
Just sat there at their table silently staring at you both for 20 minutes waiting to see if you take the shot or not.
Well, I mean, you know, they were doing the same thing. Because, like, part of me was like, I'm cool. I'm cool. And then the other part of me's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then it becomes this. Then we had this conversation. Well, should we try to pay them back?
Well, I was going to say, that'd be the move. You then send them shots and then you come over and you all do a shot together. That's the cool move.
Now, see? We had that conversation, though, and then we're buying students alcohol. And we can't do that. We're professors.
Is that illegal?
This was... Well, I don't think it's illegal, but it's like a professionalism ethics thing. I mean, I don't know. It was funny because the students came over. We still had not taken the shots, and we were still... And so we just started debating it with them, and, like, we were all laughing and joking about it. So it turned into a fun, funny moment, and it was all... appropriate and above the board, but we just sat there because we're both my colleague who was there with me, we're both pretty, like, we want to do things right, we don't want to get in trouble kind of people. Like, we're not, you know, we're not the type to go out and do shots with students. So it was a moral conundrum.
What ended up happening?
We eventually took the shots. They promised us they weren't bribing us and didn't mean anything other than, hey, there are two of our professors that we had in med school out for dinner. We'll get them a shot. It will be funny.
Glad you got the clarification. That was probably the best solution. Just have a discussion.
Yes. It was a fun conversation. And then I think they thought we were even nerdier than they thought we were to begin with. So I don't think we gained any cool points.
Yeah. I think you lost some, but that's all right. You gained some respect points.
There we go.
There you go.
Well, I think that's all I have to say about teachers.
I think we are teachered out.
Here's what can I give a piece of advice?
Sure.
You're probably already learning this, Riley, because you are in college. But if any of our listeners are in high school, I would say that I figured out too late that thing about teachers, like, it's not just the stuff they have to teach you because they're your math or science or English teacher or whatever. Like, they have all this life experience and they're teachers. So, like, they're good at sharing it with you by they've been taught how to do that. So their very nature is they're good at sharing that with you. And every time you get a chance to like learn a little more, talk a little more, you know, glean a little more from a teacher, I think it's a great opportunity because they are people outside right. of like the room
mm-hmm.
that you see them in. I wish by the time I realized that I hadn't taken enough advantage of that. And like, I tried to go back anytime I had the chance and like write emails and letters to past teachers to say like, I wanted you to know that you taught me this thing and I always remembered it and it meant a lot to me. And like, you know, we don't do that enough with teachers before college a lot of the time.
Now that's super true. And I think especially like for high school teachers and I mean, you know, any sort of like public school teacher, it's like they're not getting like the best pay for the job they're asked to do. And a lot of times that job can just be so hard. Like kids are mean and that's what they have to interact with. Like we appreciate your teachers, especially in high school, especially in middle school, because they are doing a service for our community and
they're not paid enough for it. Mm-hmm. And yep.
Yeah. So be nice to teachers.
Thank you, basically. Teachers.
Yeah.
Thank you for being my only friends.
Me too.
Thank you, listeners. You can tweet at us at StillBuff. You can email us at StillBuffering@MaximumFun.org. You can go to MaximumFun.org and listen to a wonderful podcast that will bring you hours of entertainment and joy and laughs and knowledge, perhaps. And thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Mine.
This has been Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am a teenager.
And I was too.
Only one more year of that.
Like,
oh, no.
What are you going to say?
I don't know.
Hello there, ghouls and gals. It is I, April Wolf. I'm here to take you through the twisty, scary, heart-pounding world of genre cinema on the exhilarating program known as Switchblade Sisters. The concept is simple. I invite a female filmmaker on each week, and we discuss their favorite genre film. Listen in closely to hear past guests like The Babadook director, Jennifer Kent, Winter's Bone director, Deborah Granick, and so many others every Thursday on MaximumFun.org. Tune in if you dare.
It's actually a very thought-provoking show that deeply explores the craft and philosophy behind the filmmaking process while also examining film through the lens of the female gaze. So, like, you should listen.
Switchblade Sisters.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.